Would you please, in your bulletin, the scripture passage for today is listed. It comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, if you would just follow along with this. Dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. This is not going to be a normal message today. Like you say, very brief in regards. But I just want to start off with a thank you on behalf of our family, Shelley, Josiah, Whitney, if she were here. I'm sure myself. I would like to just thank all of you. I could go through and try to do thanks individually, but I would forget somebody, and I don't want to do that. And so just in general, we want to thank you for the great home in which you have given us to live, the parsonage. Very much thank you for giving us the opportunity to live in such an enjoyable area that we have partaken of the hiking and the kayaking and the hunting and so forth. You've provided us with stable employment. I have not worried about income at all. You've been a very generous and sacrificially giving church. Thank you for that. I thank you for your willingness to try doing ministry in different ways, even from the very beginning. I thank you for your patience with me. I've gone back and I've looked at former sermons that I have done years and years ago, and I'm wondering how do you guys, you know, bear to listen to those things. So you've been great in your patience with me, and we appreciate your friendship. And some of you have even said, you know, they want our address and they're looking for places to come visit when it's so cold in the winter here and it's nice and warm in Las Cruces, New Mexico. So you're welcome to come and visit us. But I guess if I were to do one specific thank you, I want to thank the Reinards, Pastor Aaron and Marjorie. I think it was 12 and a half years ago, Aaron and I first sat down and talked with each other down at, today it's the Arbor Cafe, but it used to be the Fresh Cup back, I think, in that time period. And I knew he was looking to leave from North Warren. That was the beginning of a wonderful ministry partnership, friendship, seeing things the same way and doing ministry together. Marjorie, your quiet leadership, your strength in that way, especially now in the deacon board, it's very much appreciated. And Corbin and Tobiah and Elias, it's been a joy to watch the three of you grow. And Corbin, to get that deep voice when he says hi to you on a Sunday. So to the Reiner, just thank you for being and partnering in ministry with us here. I think it's been characteristic for me to be challenging to this congregation over the years pretty consistently, and so I plan to even finish out that way today. And so I have two challenges I want to leave with this congregation, and there are things that a person can say when they've been at a church 15 and a half years that I can't say when I'm just starting out at a place. So just two challenges to this congregation, one of which is if you notice in your passage this morning, in verse 14, do everything without complaining and arguing. This is, if I were to have one concern for the church and one of my hopes for moving forward, is that the church would learn to do things in dealing with gossip. I think almost every church has an issue with that. But I would hope that the church would deal with where that happens, because it's a cancer. Like most of us have had some type of experience with someone who has experienced cancer in some way, whether it be the Colchernos or Mike Zirkin or Barbara or whoever it might be. It's a quiet invader of the body that seeks to destroy the body. And the sooner you recognize it and deal with it, the more likelihood of health and survival. And so I want to encourage the congregation to radically deal with this when they see it evident in the life of the church. Several things happen when gossip is allowed to persist. One is that factions develop. There's sides that are taken, and that's never good in the body of Christ. There's a refusal to directly confront, and then there's a refusal to forgive. And just last Sunday, I was told by somebody that they can forgive, but they can't forget. If you don't forget, you never forgive. If you don't forget, you never forgive. I've said on numerous occasions that when someone wrongs us, we have a tendency to rehearse the wrong that was done or the perception of the wrong that was done to us, to replay what happened over and over in our minds. And as soon as we do that, what happens? Deep within us come these feelings of anger and bitterness and resentment and even vindictiveness. And pretty soon, we're in no position that we want to choose to forgive somebody. So that rehearsing is remembering. And we have a choice. Like, we have a choice to forgive. We have a choice whether to remember or to forget. It's not that we are we are slaves to our memories. We are not. We can choose to forget. We have a behavioral covenant that we've put together in the church of how we are to interact with one another. It's in printed form in different places throughout this building. Wendy had this sign, this plaque, this beautiful plaque made as kind of just a summary of that behavioral covenant. And so thank you for the visual for today. But one of the things I want to point to is that we speak the truth, we address conflict, we love, and we forgive. And so in whatever the situations are in the life of the church, we need to be, those things don't happen on their own. Those are just not natural things that we tend to do as fallen, sinful human beings. They're things that we have to be mindful of, that we have to pursue if it's going to happen individually, but also corporately as a body of believers. And so this sign hangs as you go out the sanctuary every Sunday, whether you've noticed it or not, but oftentimes as long as something is there, you stop noticing it. So hopefully after today, you'll notice it a little bit longer. But it hangs right there as you leave as a reminder of what it is that we are to be about. But within that behavioral covenant, if you're in the bathroom, sitting in the stall, you'll see the sign sitting there in front of you. It gives us a format for how we are to deal with people that we disagree with and people that we hear maybe talking about others. And the first of which is that when you hear someone talking about someone else, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to encourage them to go to the person they're talking about. That's from Matthew 18. So if you're listening to someone who is talking about someone else and you just listen to what they have to say and then they go on, or you know that they're getting ready to and you don't want to be a part of it and you just walk away, by not engaging, you enable that behavior to continue. By listening to what is being said and not saying, well, you need to go to that person, you allow that behavior to just continue and to be perpetuated on and on and on and on. And so what you're to say is, you need to go to that person. Can you say that with me today? You need to go to that person. No, I'm not going to go to that person. It won't do any good. And so the next thing you're to say is, I will go with you. Can you say that with me? I will go with you. I don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't see that it's going to make any type of a difference. And so I just wanted to vent with you. So the thing you're supposed to say next is, well, I'm going to let that person know that there's a need for the two of you to talk. Can you say that with me? I'm going to let that person know there's a need for the two of you to talk. And when you address it in this way, it makes people take responsibility for their words, and it makes people take responsibility for their emotions. And there's a need within most every congregation, but I see there's a need here as well, for people to not allow that behavior to continue and to persist. But the only way it's going to happen is if we're willing to tell them, you need to go to them. I will go with you. I'm going to let them know that there's a need for the two of you to talk. That's one of my challenges I want to leave with us today is that. The second one is this. I just want to encourage you to continue to be a church that reaches out and gets involved in the community. I think you have really embodied that. You have made that a part of your DNA as a church to be outreach-oriented. Just from, you know, we have a history of crossing denominational lines, crossing church lines to do ministry together, the merger itself, our connection ministries down at the YMCA, numerous churches coming together to do Sunday night ministries, our involvement in the community worship service, where there's 15, 16 churches in town don't hold worship at their own locations when they come together at the library theater for worship, a combined, you know, worship team, choir, the community Good Friday services, the Relay for Life, our presence in that, the community vacation Bible school, the 4th of July cookouts where people come and they use the church grounds for watching fireworks and we include them in a meal and interact and build relationships. You have become very outreach-oriented. And I think you've begun to understand that the church does not exist to meet, it does not primarily exist for the people who are members of it. It's probably one of the few organizations where the church's purpose is not to really serve those within the church, but it's to serve those outside of the church. It doesn't, you know, this is not a country club where you pay your membership dues and you come and you participate in certain things, and because of that you think you have a right to certain services. You've really grasped this need to reach out. And so, but as anything, you've got to be mindful and intentional about it. It doesn't just happen on its own. A while back, I became aware of this story. There is someone who came as a first-time visitor of this church several years ago. If you've ever gone to visit a church and you don't know anyone there, it's not where you're accustomed to going, but you've mustered up the courage, you've taken, you know, been intentional about getting up early on a Sunday morning to go someplace, and to go somewhere, it's a daunting thing. It's not an easy task. This person came and sat in the back, and before too long, she was asked to move by two people who were a part of the church for decades. That's the seat where me and my family sit. Would you please move? When I heard that, I was appalled. I was enraged that I heard that happened. I'm very thankful that didn't deter that person from coming back, because since then, that person has become very involved in the life of the church and gives great joy because I see this person growing. But as everything, there needs to be an intentionality. Just because we have gotten to a certain point doesn't mean that there's not room for continued growth. So these are the two challenges I want to leave with you today. Not that there are not others I couldn't leave with you or that you could leave with me, but just continue to focus on our health in terms of how we speak with each other and to one another, and focus on the importance of reaching out and not just seeing this as a place that belongs to us, but as a place that needs to be open and welcoming to those who are truly seeking God and would come here in pursuit of that. Let's pray. Father and Son and Holy Spirit, Father, I thank you for the time that you have given us here. I thank you for the numerous people and the ways that they have enriched and blessed our lives. I thank you for the ways that I see that they desire to serve you. But as in anything, Lord God, we still are fallen people. And I just pray that you would enable us to continue to strive towards who it is that you call us to be individually and corporately. Lord, I thank you, and I pray your blessing upon this church as they are even in the search process now. Bring to them the minister that you know would fit best here. We pray, Father, for the intermediate time, that kind of wandering in the wilderness portion between leaving Egypt and being settled in the promised land, this intermediate time. I pray, Father, that you'd use that for good in the life of the church. And I just pray, Lord God, that you'd grant them patience and to not rush ahead of what it is that you are wanting for them, what you have in plan in mind for them, but that they would keep in step with what it is that you are doing. Father, again, I just thank you for our time, and I just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.